إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with العقيدة الطحاوية The creed of compiled by Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last week we had two points, points number 122 and 123. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ And we have iman in the angels and the prophets. وَالْكُتُبِ الْمُنَزَّلَةِ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ ونشهد أنهم كانوا على الحق المبين. And we have iman also in the books which were sent down upon the messengers, and we bear witness that they were upon the clear truth. And with regard to those points and the explanation of Sheikh al-Fawzan, who can mention? Again, some easy questions, inshallah. Who can mention what the angels were created from? From what were the angels created? Yeah. The angels were created by Allah from light. And then, what was the purpose for which the angels were created? For what purpose? The Sheikh mentioned that they were created by Allah to worship Allah alone and also to carry out Allah's commands within the creation. And we had the point that these things, they carry both of these things out, that while carrying out Allah's commands, that they, at the same time, they worship Allah. We had a point also from an authentic hadith with regard to the number of wings of Jibreel alayhi salam. Who can remember the number of wings of Jibreel alayhi salam?
600.
Yeah, 600. As occurs in Bukhari and elsewhere, from a hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel on his true form and he had 600 wings, and each one being enough to fill the whole of the horizon. We also had a point that the Sheikh made, that when Jibreel came in, he used to come usually in human form, and he would come usually looking like one of the companions. Which companion? He would resemble one of the companions, or meaning most closely resemble a certain one of the companions. Dihyat al-Kalbi radiallahu anhu. We also had the definition of a Nabi and the definition of a Rasul. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Who can remember the definition of a Nabi, of a Prophet? Slightly fine tuning on it, inshallah.
The Nabi who is one who receives the Wahi, but he doesn't receive a new Sharia, either he informs of the Sharia that was already established.
Someone who receives revelation that he has not kept to perpetrate the people.
Yeah. There's someone who receives revealed law from Allah, received revelation and revealed legislation from Allah, but he was not commanded to propagate it to others. And with regard to Rasul, messenger, the definition of messenger? One who received revelation, he received revealed legislation, and he was commanded to propagate it to the people, to call the people to it, and so on. Who can name five of the revealed books that have been named to us, and the prophets to whom they were sent? One left, easy one. Yeah. MashaAllah, very good, MashaAllah. JazakAllah khairan. Yeah. Then for the last question then, the Sheikh mentioned three purposes for the sending down of the revealed books. The revealed books that were sent down to fulfill three purposes. Who can remember what the three purposes were that Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned? Three things for them to fulfill, for three reasons. For the welfare of mankind, for the guidance of mankind, and to establish the proof upon mankind. Then with regard to this week, then we begin with the next point, point number 124, and we'll try and do 3 points, inshallah, 124, 125, and if we still have time at the end, point 126, inshallah. So with regard to point number 124, وَنُسَمِّي أَهْلَ قِبْلَتِنَا مُسْلِمِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ. And we call those who pray towards our Qibla, the direction of prayer, Muslims and believers. And we call those who pray towards our direction of prayer, Muslims and believers. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, this is from the Aqeedah. What's mentioned here? This is from the Aqeedah, the creed and belief. That whoever says the two Shahadas, the Shahadatain, the two testifications of faith, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He said, whoever says the two Shahadas and is uprightly established upon them, then he is a Muslim, even if he commits some sins, and even if they are from the major sins, the kaba'ir, as long as the sins are lesser than shirk. I mean, it still applies. He's still a Muslim. Even if he commits sins, even if he committed major sins, as long as they're less than shirk. He said, however, he will be a Muslim who is deficient in his Islam and deficient in his Iman and a fasiq, a sinful person. However, he is not judged to be an unbeliever. as long as his sins are less than shirk. This is the aqidah, the creed and belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the creed and belief of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. They do not declare people to be unbelievers because of sins which are less than shirk. However, iman, true faith, is reduced by them. I mean, these sins, they cause iman to be reduced. And the person who commits them, becomes a sinful person with lesser sinfulness, which does not take a person outside the religion. So he just made clear the position of the people of the Sunnah. Then he said, contrary to the Khawarij. And then he mentions their mistaken position. So he mentions the position of the people of the Sunnah. Now he says, and their position is contrary to the Khawarij, those who declare people to be unbelievers. They do takfir. They declare people to be unbelievers because of committing major sins. And they declare them to have left the religion. And they say that this person will remain forever in the fire. That's the saying of the Khawarij. That person who dies upon major sin is a kafir and will remain forever in the hellfire. That's what the Khawarij say. Then he said, and also contrary, I mean the position of the people of the Sunnah is also contrary to the Mu'tazila, those who say that the person guilty of a major sin has left Islam. However, they do not declare him to be an unbeliever. Rather, they say he is in a manzila bayn al manzilatayn. This is what the Mu'tazila say. The person who has committed major sin, they say he's left Islam, but he hasn't entered into unbelief, kufr. He's stuck in between, in a position in between. Manzila bayn al manzilatayn, he's stuck in a position between the two positions, in between Islam and kufr. He said, however, if those people die upon a major sin, then the Mu'tazila make the same judgment as the Khawarij upon them. In other words, the Mu'tazila say the same as the Khawarij said with regard to the hereafter. If a person dies upon major sin, he will be in the hellfire forever. So the Shaykh makes it clear here how the position of the people of the Sunnah is different to these two deviant positions. The position of the Khawarij, who say a person guilty of major sin is a kafir, and in the hereafter he will be forever in the fire. And the second deviant position, that of the Mu'tazila, those who say a person guilty of major sin, he is outside Islam and is in a position between Islam and kufr, unbelief, in a position between the two positions. And in the hereafter, they say it will be the same as what the Khawarij say about that person, that he'll be a person of the fire forever. Then the Shaykh mentions, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions, a third deviant sect. He said, and also contrary to the creed and belief of the Murji'ah, those who say that when a person has iman, then sins will not harm him. And that whoever believes in Allah in his heart, Allah the Mighty and Majestic, whoever has tasdeeq, whoever affirms Allah in his heart, then he is a believer, a true believer, a mu'min. No matter what he does. Even if he abandons all of the pillars of Islam, then in their view, he will still not be a kafir. He will still not be an unbeliever. So this, the Shaykh mentioned here, the position of the murji'ah. He said, carrying on what they say, what is important is belief in the heart and what is held as creed. And as for actions, they do not increase iman and they do not decrease it and they are not from it. Again, this is from the saying of the murji'ah. The actions don't increase iman and they don't decrease it and they're not from it. They're not from iman at all. He said, again, they say, so as long as the person believes in his heart, then he is a mu'min, a believer, who has complete iman. This is the position of the murji'ah, and it is a misguided position. In all of the parts he's just mentioned about their belief, it's all misguidance. Saying that sins don't affect iman, saying that actions don't increase iman, actions of obedience to Allah do not increase iman, saying that sins don't decrease iman, and saying that a sinful person is a complete believer, all of this is deviation. And he said, so they and the Khawarij are upon two opposite sayings. In other words, the Khawarij on one extreme and the Murji'ah on the opposite extreme. A people who are over harsh, and they are the Khawarij, and a people who are over lax and too soft, and said that sins don't harm. And they are the murji'ah. And as for the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then they take a middle path. Their way is taken from the book and the Sunnah. And it is justice. And it combines the evidences. And as for the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, the first two deviant sects that he mentioned here, as for the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, then they take hold of the texts which mention threats, Nususul Wa'id, these texts which mention a threat, mean a threat of the fire or a threat of punishment for someone who does such and such. These are called Nusus al-Wa'id, the texts of a threat. So he said, as for the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, then they take hold of the texts mentioning threats. And they leave aside the texts mentioning promises. Nusus al-Wa'ad. That means the texts which mention a promise of paradise, or a text mentioning what is the reward that lies for the believers. And these people, the Khawarij and Mu'tazila, they take the first, they take those texts which have got a threat in them, and they apply them. And the second lot of texts which mention a promise, they leave those aside. Then he said, And as for the Murji'ah, then they take hold of the texts which mention promises, Nusus al-Wa'ad. They take hold of those texts which mention a promise, and they leave aside Nusus al-Wa'id. They leave aside the texts which mention threats. Then he said, however, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they take hold of the texts which mention promises and also the texts which mention threats. They take hold of both, they accept both and use both. And they harmonize and combine both of them. And this is the truth. This is the truth. Then he quotes the ayah in support of this position of the people of the Sunnah. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 7. With the explanation, and those firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, we have iman in it, in all of it. All of it is from our Lord. That's the position of the people firmly grounded in knowledge with regard to the book, with regard to the texts. They accept all of it. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so they refer each text to the rest. And they do not take one part and leave aside the other part, as is the position of the people of deviation. And he quotes a further part of the same ayah, Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 7. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَأْتَبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. With the explanation, and those who have deviation in their hearts, they follow that which is unclear. So the Shaykh here compares the position of the people of the truth, those who accept all of the book, all of the texts, and harmonize them together with that of the people of deviation who are described in this part of the ayah. Those who have deviation in their hearts, they follow that which is unclear. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, those who sees that which is unclear and they leave aside that which is clear and decisive, that which explains what is unclear. Then he said, and the saying of the author, meaning At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, in the main text, the saying of the author, Muslimina, mu'mineen, they are Muslims, believers, in the point here, point number 124, and we call those who pray towards our Qibla, Muslims and believers. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, the saying of the author, Muslims and believers, is not taken without restriction. We don't just say this unrestrictedly. He said, because they may be deficient in Islam and in Iman, and under threat from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. In other words, we don't just say that anyone who prays towards our Qibla, that's it, they're perfect believers and they're full Muslims. No, the Shaykh said that we don't take it unrestrictedly like that. Rather, mean if they commit sins, then no doubt they'll be under threat, they'll be under the text of the threat. And they will be deficient in their Islam and their Iman. And with regard to the next point, which carry, point number 125, مَا دَامُوا بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُعْتَرِفِينَ. وله بكل ما قاله وأخبر مصدقين. He said, Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, said, as long, following on, as long as they acknowledge that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with, and as long as they believe him in whatever he said and informed of. So this point, which carries on from point, the last point, as long as they acknowledge that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with, and as long as they believe him in whatever he said and informed of. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, but if they deny something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with, and they don't acknowledge it, then they become unbelievers, kuffar. Even if they believe in part of what he came with, but if they deny a part of it, then they are unbelievers in all of what he came with. Someone who denies a part of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, then they're unbelievers in all of it. Because what is obligatory is to have iman, to truly believe in all of it, whether it conforms with our desires or is contrary to them, because it is the truth. And as for one who rejects some of the authentic ahadith, then he is a kafir. As for someone who rejects some of the authentic ahadith, then he is a kafir, an unbeliever. So if he rejects a hadith in Bukhari, and the hadith is sahih, authentic, and the person says, I don't believe in this hadith, and I don't affirm it, since it is contrary to modern scientific knowledge, then, subhanAllah, how free is Allah from imperfections? He gives an example of what people, you find people saying when they reject authentic hadith. They'll say the like of this: I don't believe it, and I don't affirm it. And then they give the excuse. They say, because it's contrary to modern scientific knowledge. Sheikh said, so subhanAllah, how free is Allah from imperfections? The speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is accused of being wrong, but the speech of people is not accused of being wrong. And also, modern scientific knowledge might not actually contradict the authentic ahadith. And all praise is for Allah. So for example, and then the Shaykh mentions a very common example that some of the people of deviation, a common hadith that the people of deviation commonly reject. He said, so for example, there occurs the hadith with regard to the fly, which is rejected by those people. That in one of the wings of the fly, there is poison, and in the other, there is a remedy. And medicine affirms this, that poison can be treated by its opposite, and with something that can act as an antidote to it. And the fly contains these two opposites. So when it falls, when a fly, when it falls into some water, it raises the wing which contains the remedy, and it dips the wing which contains the poison into the liquid. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded submerging the fly along with the wing containing the remedy. Then in a footnote they mention the wording of this hadith. This hadith, as we mentioned, as the Shaykh clarified, made clear here, some of the people of innovation, they reject this hadith. Even though it's authentic in Bukhari, they reject it. Based on this argument here, they say it's contrary to modern scientific knowledge, they claim. So in the footnote, they mention the wording of the hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu an, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا وَقَعَ الذُّبَابُ فِي شَرَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيَغْمِسْهُ. There's a printing error here, it should be فَلْيَغْمِسْهُ ثُمَّ لِيَنْزِعْهُ فَإِنَّ فِي إِحْدَى جَنَاحَيْهِ دَاءً وَالْأُخْرَى شِفَاءً. From Abu Huraira radiallahu an, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when a fly falls into the drink of one of you, then let him submerge it, let him push it in, push the fly into the drink, then let him take it out, because in one of its wings there is poison and the other contains a remedy. Shaykh al-Fawzan continues, so this is the hadith which some of them reject. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so this, I mean doing this, will overcome the poison. And this is confirmed by medicine, not rejected by it. However, since it runs contrary to the personal tastes of those ignorant people, they start speaking with this speech. And this is kufr, this is unbelief, and Allah's refuge is sought. I mean, some of these people of deviation, they just don't like what's mentioned in that hadith. So they find an excuse to reject the hadith, and they say it's contrary to modern scientific knowledge. How we're supposed to push it, a fly lands in our drink, we're supposed to push it in. They say that's contrary, and that it's got poison in one wing and the remedy in the other. They say that's contrary to modern scientific knowledge. So therefore, it gives them an excuse, they claim, to reject the hadith. So the Shaykh rebuts them for that. And said this saying, this rejection of an authentic hadith, is kufr, unbelief, and Allah's refuge is sought. Then he said, and they have foul sayings regarding the sunnah. They reject it, and they raise doubts about it. And they say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِأَمْرِ دُنْيَاكُمْ. And they try and make an excuse for themselves. He said, and they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you people know better about the affairs of your worldly life. In a footnote, they mentioned this hadith is reported by Muslim. And it's a hadith, just a side point, it's a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by some people who were pollinating their date palm trees. They weren't just waiting for just the wind to blow the pollen into the trees. They were actually taking the parts of the tree that need pollinating, putting one into the other to pollinate it to improve the date harvest. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw them doing this, he made a suggestion to them that maybe it will not help them to do so. And in another wording, also reported by Muslim, he said, I don't think that this will help you at all. He made a suggestion to them. He said, I don't think this will help you doing this. And the hadith mentions later on, another time he came and passed by, and he saw that the dates on the tree had come all dry and small. So he asked them about it, so they said, You told us not to do what we were doing. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to them, you know better about the affairs of your worldly life. And also in the wording of Ibn Majah, all this being a side point, in the wording of Ibn Majah, for the same hadith, also being authentic, that he said to them, if it is something from the affairs of your worldly life, then it is your affair. And if it is something from the affairs of your religion, then it is for me. He made a certain suggestion to them, perhaps if you didn't do that, what you're doing, it wouldn't do you any harm. So Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions this hadith, that this hadith is used by these people of deviation just to reject the sunnah. Shaykh al-Fawzan continued, and they say this whilst claiming that they are callers to Islam. And this is their stance with regard to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, they take this hadith and they apply it to the whole of the sunnah. Alhamdulillah. He said, so these ignorant people are saying that this is from the affairs of the worldly life. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know better about your worldly life. So the meaning of their saying is that they are declaring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be ignorant. In other words, whenever somebody tries to bring something from the sunnah, then they bring this. They say, oh, it's a matter of the worldly life. And they reject whatever occurs in the sunnah in that regard. Shaykh al-Fawzan then finish this part by saying, and his saying, the saying about Tahawi, his saying, مُعْتَرِفِينَ مُصَدِّقِينَ, as long as they acknowledge and believe in the heart. He said, acknowledging and believing in the heart is not sufficient except upon the position of the murji'ah. Just acknowledging the truth in your heart, believing in Allah, that Allah exists in your heart, this is not sufficient, except in the view of the murji'ah. Rather, along with that, there must be acting upon what he came with, acting upon what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, and there must be ikhlas, purity and sincerity in that. It's not just enough that a person in his heart, he knows that Allah exists, or he acknowledges Allah. That's not sufficient. Then just as a side point, then Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Mani' rahimahullah, he said on this point, making the same point that Shaykh al-Fawzan made at the end here, that as long as the people acknowledge that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, and as long as they believe him in whatever he said and informed of, obviously Shaykh al-Fawzan made the point, it's not enough that in their heart they acknowledge it's the truth and leave it at that. He said, Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Mani' said, and affirming and acknowledging that only are these two, acknowledging the truth of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with in the heart and affirming it only, are not sufficient for the Islam and the Iman which have been commanded by Allah and His Messenger. So Islam and Iman upon which salvation depends are what is mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel, the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, which includes belief of the heart, affirmation upon the tongue, and action. That's where he ends the point. All of these are essential, as shown by the hadith of Jibreel. And as for Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, then he made a small point here, that he said, the explainer, meaning Ibn Abul Izz, said, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, is making the point that Islam and Iman are one, and that the Muslim does not leave Islam by committing sins. He doesn't leave Islam by committing a sin as long as he does not take it to be lawful. And what is meant by his saying, Ahlu Qiblatina, the people of our Qibla, are those who attribute themselves to Islam and who face the Qibla, even if they be from the deviant sects or from the people of sins, as long as they do not deny anything which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. Then as for the final point then, point number 126, then At-Tahawi rahimahullah said, وَلَا نَخُوذُ فِي اللَّهِ وَلَا نُمَارِي فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. And we do not enter into vain speech concerning Allah, and we do not dispute regarding Allah's religion. We do not enter into vain speech concerning Allah, and we do not dispute regarding Allah's religion. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said, we do not enter into vain speech about Allah. Rather, we have iman in Him. We truly believe in Him, and in His attributes, and in His names. And we do not explain them away and interpret them away from what is apparent from them, and bring meanings not intended by Allah and not intended by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just following our desires. We don't do that. We don't just follow our desires and our deficient intellect. For this is kufr, this is unbelief in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And likewise, with regard to the religion of Allah, we do not dispute, we do not argue and say, this is something which we believe in, and this is something we withhold about, having iman about. We go through the religion and say, this part we can believe in, this part, and this part here we have to withhold about that part. Stop ourselves from having iman in that part. We don't do that. The Shaykh said, so as long as it is something established in the book and the sunnah, then there is no room for delving further into that. Rather, we have iman in it, we truly believe in it, and we submit. And if there is something in our intellects which cannot reach this thing, then it is our intellects which fall short. And if the intellect had been perfect and complete, then they would not have needed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and mankind would not have needed the messengers. So this shows that the intellects are deficient, and that it was indeed essential to send the messengers. in order for the truth to be shown to be truth, and for falsehood to be shown to be falsehood. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? As for the Murji'ah, then the Murji'ah hold from their deviation that tasdeeq of the heart, a person's acknowledging Allah with his heart, in his heart he acknowledges the existence of Allah, that Allah exists, and for them that's sufficient for belief, for iman. Because that's not sufficient whatsoever. A person in his heart, he has a belief in the existence of Allah. That's not sufficient for a person to be a believer. Yeah, no doubt. If a person from ignorance made a statement, for example, about a certain hadith, that just from a person's pure ignorance, that obviously these days ignorance is very widespread, a person heard an authentic hadith, and from his ignorance he doesn't know it's an authentic hadith, he doesn't know that, you know, he's just basically a totally ignorant person, and he said, I don't believe that, it doesn't necessitate that, you know, outright he's declared to be a kafir because of that. The Sheikh is making the point here that obviously the hadith is authentic. For example, like the hadith of the fly. But as for a person out of his ignorance, he doesn't in his heart he doesn't think it's come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the cure for ignorance is to teach the person, to establish the proof upon the person. But the Sheikh's making the point that the reality of the situation is a rejection of an authentic hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. I mean, the fact that it's authentic means that Al-Bukhari narrated the hadith through his chain of narration back to the companion. It's authentic. The companion said that the Prophet ﷺ said it. In other words, the Prophet ﷺ did say that. So reality is, somebody comes along and says, no, I don't believe that. That's a rejection of the part of what the Prophet ﷺ came with. That's unbelief. But as for putting that upon people upon the street, you know, passing that, then no doubt there's a lot of ignorance around. A person sometimes, you find out of their ignorance, people just reject things. Or because they've heard other fools who they take to be people of knowledge rejecting it and saying, you know, they've heard fools who they take to be their leaders saying modern science rejects this hadith, it shows this hadith is not correct, the Prophet didn't say it. So sometimes people just follow other people upon that. So the like of that need to be taught the reality. Allahu a'lam. Hassan. 125. Point number 125 was, as long as they acknowledge that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, and as long as they believe him in whatever he said and informed of. Obviously, Shaykh al-Fawzan and the others, they made the point, it's not just enough that a person inwardly acknowledges the truth of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. It's not sufficient. Just in the middle, in the person's heart, he knows it's the truth. And then outwardly, he does something different. He doesn't follow it, and so on.
Regarding the light,
Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned about the hadith of the fly, that the fly, when it lands in a drink, it puts down, as occurs in one of the narrations, the fly puts down the wing which contains the poison. So in other words, that's why we're told to push it down, so the wing that's got the remedy in, it keeps that out of the water. So that's why we're told to push it in, so the poison's gone in already. So we push it in, and then the wing with the antibodies or whatever it is, the remedy, we push that in as well. So that neutralizes the poison. And then take it out. As far as I know, yeah, inshallah. Hadith in, you know, hadith in Bukhari, that long hadith. It's that one, as far as I know, yeah, inshallah. Yeah, inshallah. أما الفرق بين النبي والرسول فقد اشتهر أن النبي هو أمره وحي إليه بشرع ولم يؤمر بتوحيده ورسول هو من أوحي إليه بشرع ولم يؤمر بتوحيده. لكن هذا تفريق قد جاء في بعض ما شاء الله
كريم. لكن في الأخير
هناك يعني اختصار جزاك الله خير. فيقال أمر بي أن يبلغ شريعة سابقة. The brother just gave me a book here from Sheikh Abdul Mohsin Abad, حفظه الله, with regard to the explanation of the hadith of Jibreel with regard to teaching the religion. He just mentions that Sheikh Abdul Mohsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, he mentions a distinction between a Nabi, a prophet, and a Rasul. And the speech goes on for quite a while, so the brothers highlighted a certain part of it for us to read. And the summary at the end is, so upon this, it is to be said that a Nabi, An-Nabiyu man uhiya ilayhi walam yu'mar bit tablighi, في وقت ما أو أمر بأن يبلغ شريعة سابقة أو يقال النبي يطلق عليه الرسول والرسول يطلق عليه النبي. That he said, so it is to be said, based on what the evidences he brought, it is to be said that a prophet is someone who had revelation sent to him and he was not commanded to convey that at a certain time, for some certain time. Or he was commanded to convey legislation which had already been present. Or to convey legislation which had already been present. I mean, either he was told, rather he was given revelation, but told that he didn't have to convey for a certain time, or that he conveyed, but what he conveyed was legislation which had already been given before. And at the end he said, or it is to be said that the term Nabi is and Rasul are used interchangeably. Allahu a'lam. Wa iyyakum. Jazakallah khair. No doubt, applying takfir upon someone is not for the common person to go around applying doing takfir upon people. Takfir is something reserved for the people of knowledge. Establishing the proof upon someone, and then passing a judgment based upon that this person proof's been established upon him, and this is for people of knowledge. It's not for us to go around, you know, walking the streets and, you know, this one's a kafir and that one's not a kafir, and based upon, you know, our limited understanding. No. Takfir and the like of that is to be, you know, left to the people of knowledge. That was a lesson, you know, a Christian walking upon the street, or somebody, you know, comes along and openly rejects Islam, doesn't even claim to be a Muslim or something like that, something else. But as for a person who claims to be a Muslim and claims to be upon the Sunnah, and then so we hear something from them, then what's upon us is to give da'wah to the people, and then obviously convey, if we have anything to, in that regard, to put it to people of knowledge. There's a person here who says such and such and such. Oh, Shaykh, what do you say about that person? Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.